And so Brother Garwood's going to come today and preach for us, and I hope you'll give him a warm Benson Grove welcome. And then afterwards, we're going to try to bless him as a church this morning.
Thank you, Brother Brett. Praise God, I'll tell you this, I'm doing fine.
Amen.
My brother came to me when I got here and said, I hope you're going to have liberty. I said, praise God, I had liberty when I left home this morning. Amen. And I will tell you, I'm going through something, but you know what? I found out something. I'm going to preach a message to you this morning, by the way. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Ephesians chapter 2. I want to preach a message called God's Marvelous Grace. You know, sometimes there's some things about grace you only discover when you find yourself in a valley, when you find yourself what you may consider struggling. Now, I'll tell you about Susan this morning. My wife has ALS, and that's a new journey. That's something that we learn together every day. And I'll be telling you some more about her as I preach. But I will tell you this. I have found out through this valley and through this journey that God's grace is more than sufficient. I have a wife unlike most others, even up to this point. She's on a feeding tube, supposed to be full-time feeding tube, however she chooses to eat. And, you know, by the way, if I knew I were dying, I'd want something to eat too, wouldn't you? So I fix her something when she wants it. But she's never complained one time. And like I said, I'll be telling you about that in just a little bit. But I'm looking out across here this morning, and I see all different ages. I see a lot of young people. And I want to tell you something. Brad made a statement. He said, we're all about thumbs. Well, that may be. I know we're in a media frenzy with Facebook and Twitter and email and all these other things. I'm still at this stage here, but I get the job done. But there's something that we did years ago. Now, these older ones here will be able to say, preacher, I know exactly what you're talking about. The men folk probably won't raise their hand because they don't want to be embarrassed. But before there was ever social media, how did the boyfriends and girlfriends communicate? You know, I remember, some of y'all remember too, how many of y'all remember the old-fashioned party line? I mean, when you got on the party line, you knew somebody else was going to listen because, you know, gossip didn't start this day and age. It started a long time ago, and they'd listen in, so you had to be careful what you might say. You might be in love, but you was embarrassed to say some things on the phone. So you know how we communicated? We communicated with pen and pencil, and it was called a love letter. Y'all remember that? And those girls would fold those things up in a little square and tuck it in and maybe put a little perfume on it and get one of her friends to pass you that love note, or and you might be on the school bus and somebody threw it at you, and Lord help your soul if somebody else caught it. Because they're going to read it on the school bus, right? But you know what you do with that love letter, guys? This is what you do with it. You take it home, and you'd read it. Now, you may not want to raise your hand and say, preacher, I did that, but I know you did. You'd go in the bedroom, and you'd open that thing up, and you would read it. And if she'd put perfume on that love letter, you know, you would smell it, because it smelled like her. Oh, it's really quiet in here this morning. Young folks, you wouldn't believe how much fun that was. And you sure hope Mama didn't find that letter and read it out loud. But you know what? I got to thinking about this. This book right here is 66 love letters. And I have found over this period of time, going through this journey with my wife, how important these love letters have become. My wife sits on the porch every day. She's no longer able to hold her Bible and read it. So she listens to audio Bible, and she listens to God's Word every day for multiple hours, and she prays. And it's been a long time since I've been able to be here at Benson Grove. I've missed the camp meetings, and I surely regretted that, but I was taking care of Susan. But it feels good just to be here this morning and see so many of you that I know. Brother Billy was up at our church. He did revival for us, and that was great. And I understand he's in Florida this morning preaching another revival. And so I pray the Lord be with him. But I want to sing you a song this morning with the help of Brother Farrell Osborne's daughter, Leslie. How many of you know her? Sister Leslie and Sister Phyllis, bless their hearts, they're going to help me sing this song. And the name of the song, some of you, I'm sure you've heard it. Dottie Rambo wrote the song years ago, but it's simply a song entitled Love Letters. That was the purpose of that story, Love Letters. How many of you ever got a love letter? Let me see your hand real quick. Okay, the rest of you just don't want anybody to know, okay.
echoing through memories and treasures today. I found your love letters I'd hidden away. There were tender emotions with each stroke of your pen. I opened your letters and read them again. I counted the gifts you had given to me. You'd never stop giving with no thanks from me. They were wrapped in silk ribbons with notes marked in red. I opened your letters and here's what you said. Remember, I'd love you with a love I have loved you. I'd like to claim you, name you my own. Remember, I'd love you with a love I have loved you. When you doubt that I do, count the tears scattered through my love letters to you. By the light of a candle, I picked up a pen. Words don't come easy. Where do I begin? Oh, I pray I've not waited too long to reply. Angels, bear my letters to my love in the sky. I just read your answer with tears in my eyes. You said the stage has already been set for the groom and the bride, but I shudder to think just how sad it would be if I'd never read your love letter to me. Jesus, I'd love you. Jesus, I'd love you. I'd like to claim you, name you my own. Jesus, I'd
they are exactly that. They're love letters. And it's amazing to know this, that God knows how to get your attention and He knows how to get mine. And sometimes we get so caught up every single day with all these things going on in our lives that we get to the place that we can no longer hear that still small voice. And do you know what? You'd never realize what you've missed until God can get your attention and bring you back to a place that you can hear again. You see, we're so drowned out in this world we live in with all of the, like I said, the frenzy of all of the Facebook and social media. We've got so many time-saving devices, we have time for nothing anymore. Doesn't it seem like that? Really, I mean, we save so much time, but where do we put it? I mean, I know I'm saving time, but I can't find it. They tell me it's saved. I mean, you got to drive through on every corner, but you know, that's neither here nor there. But let me read some scripture to you this morning. I want to preach a message. Lord put it on my heart, really. And it's just bragging on Jesus. How about that? Just bragging on Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 2, if you would, look with me, please. Ephesians chapter 2, I want to read verses 1 through 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. And I was thinking about the songs they were singing this morning. I'm glad I'm redeemed. You know, I was thinking about that old song that said, I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed. Y'all remember that? Y'all sang that here. I'm redeemed. I'm glad I'm redeemed. And not only am I glad I'm redeemed, but I'm glad that I know that. I'm glad that that's settled in my heart. I don't have to have anybody tell me that Jesus is my Savior. I know He's my Savior. How's that, preacher? How do you know you're saved? Because when you're saved, the Holy Spirit of God comes in and takes residence in your heart. Best way I can explain that to you is years ago, I believe I may have given this illustration before. Years ago, I'd drive a truck. Matter of fact, that's how I met Brother Billy Cashwell. He gave me a cassette back in the day when there were cassettes. When I was driving truck, well, the truck had a hole in the dash where a radio used to be. There was no radio there, you know, so you learned to sing to yourself, to entertain yourself. Anybody ever drove a piece of junk like that, didn't have a radio? Or pull up to the stoplight, you roll your window up and it's hot as fire, pretend like you got air conditioning because you don't want the person beside you to know you didn't. Well, you know what? The Holy Spirit communicating to you is kind of like driving something with no radio. You don't have a receiver. But the great news is when you get saved, that sweet Holy Spirit of God comes into your heart. And guess what? You've got a receiver. You cut it on. That's the Holy Spirit in your heart. And when God the Father transmits through the Holy Spirit of God, guess what? You pick up that transmission. And the Holy Spirit of God bears witness with your spirit that you're His child. And you know what? That's how I know this morning I had liberty to preach when I left home. Amen? And I know this. I know it's not me. I realize that. I'm amazed with that every time I stand up. But let's bow our heads just a minute before we read the Word. Father, I love You today. I want to thank You this morning that Susan is able to watch this service by means of internet. And Father, I pray that this morning that You would use me. Father, help me to speak words of encouragement. Lord, this is a day and hour that we all need encouragement. Father, You promised that Your Word would not return void. Now, Father, I pray, Lord, forgive me of anything in my heart that would be a hindrance. Father, empty me of myself this morning. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. And Lord, help me to be a blessing here at Benson Grove Baptist Church this morning. And Father, I know that without You, I could do absolutely nothing. But Lord, we know all things are possible to them that believe. And Lord, I believe that You gave me this message this morning. And I believe there's some here that need to hear it and be encouraged. And I'm thanking You in advance for what You're going to do. Thank You for loving me when I was unlovable. Thank You, Lord, that You thought I was worth Calvary. And we love You. And we ask all Your blessings in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. And You hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. I'm glad that I received a new nature one day. Amen. That's the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. I like this old King James Bible, especially when it says exceeding riches. You know, I'm glad that his promises are great, exceeding, abundantly above all we could ever ask or think. Exceeding. In other words, there's no measure to God's mercy, no measure to his love. Now look at verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. In other words, every single one of us here this morning were created in his image and created for a purpose. One of the most difficult things that I ever had to overcome when I started preaching. And by the way, you may not realize this, folk here at Benson Grove that have known me this long. April began 19 years that I have been in Rocky Mount, and it surely doesn't seem like that. I mean, time flies. But aren't you glad that one day, even in your sin and your despair, that there was a Savior that thought you was worth Calvary? My biggest struggle was realizing that, listen, the Lord Jesus Christ loved me and saved me. I didn't have to be good enough. Praise God, he was good enough. Amen. And it reminds me of a song that we sing at church sometime. You may know it here or not, but the song says, sometimes I feel I'm nothing here on this old earth, but let me tell you what the Lord thinks you're worth. Heaven's greatest treasure he gave for you and me. He thought that we were worth Calvary. Anybody know that song? He thought that we were worth Calvary. Oh, what a price he paid for you and me. When Satan says I'm nothing, that's when God reminds me. He thought that we were worth Calvary. So I'm going to preach to you a message this morning about God's marvelous grace. I don't know about you, but I'm glad he thought I was worth Calvary. Because when he saved me, listen, he did a wonderful work when he saved my soul. He did exactly that. Now I want to preach a message this morning on marvelous, God's marvelous and sufficient grace. Now I just read that scripture, but I'm telling you, I don't care what you're going through. And pastoring a church 19 years, I have seen an awful lot of things. I have told people time and time again, when you get up and walk out of that door, you never know if this is the last opportunity you'll have to be here. We have a memory board in the foyer at our church, and we moved into the main auditorium. We built in three phases. God bless and praise God, been debt-free since 2013. To God be the glory. But you know, when we moved in, we had a prayer. We prayed that God would let everybody that had a part in that ministry see the completed work of Harvest Baptist Church. And that happened. The first Friday night we got the CO, we were able to ordain a minister. That first Sunday morning, we lost our first church member. No, the first Sunday morning service, we had one saved. That Sunday night, we lost the first church member. And since moving into that auditorium, I have preached funerals for 50 of those church members in that short period of time. Life is short, my friend. God's grace is sufficient. God wants to save you. His mercy is unbelievably wonderful, without measure. When you come into the house of God and you hear the message and you feel the Holy Spirit touch your heart and you realize that you're a sinner, you may never have another opportunity except the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we start talking about marvelous grace, I found a couple of scriptures I want to share with you. Psalm 84:11 said, For the Lord God is a sun shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Romans 5:20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Praise God for that. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Now, let me tell you something. Yes, Susan's been sick and she has been going through some very difficult times, but I want to tell you something. We found out during this journey all about God's grace. I mean, there's abiding grace, there's sufficient grace, there's living grace, there's dying grace, there's grace without measure, there's grace for every need that you have. valve. I remember just a few weeks ago, we were at the ALS clinic at Duke, and we went in, we sit down, and the ALS doctor's name is Dr. Richard Bedlack. He's supposed to be one of the specialists in the state of North Carolina as far as ALS is concerned. And the way that they measure this ALS disease is, for example, they start out on a point system. When you're first diagnosed with that, it's you're like on a 40 as far as the points goes. And the doctor was telling us that each time that you come for a visit, and she goes every 3 months, once a quarter, that each visit that you come, that you can expect to have dropped 1 point on that scale. Well, Susan's already down in her teens. The last visit that we had, Dr. Bedlack came in and he sat down in front of us after. And the great thing about the ALS clinic is all the doctors, all the specialists, everybody is under one roof. She doesn't have to get up and go anywhere else. It is a struggle to get her in the car, to get her dressed, to get her hair fixed. I can even do makeup, praise God. What you think about that? I can do them things with the eyes and up here and the powder and stuff. I learned how to curl hair. How about that? Hallelujah. Do you know what? You can do what you want to do if you want to learn. Amen. And so I take care of her. I never thought I'd have a real live baby doll, but I got one. And let me tell you something else. I'm going to tell you the rest of that story. When she got sick, I prayed. I said, God, help me. Help me. Help me to have patience. Help me to never to have a frustrated look on my face. And to God be the glory, I have never done that. I'm thinking if she has the ability to go through this sickness and never complain, then God's grace is sufficient for me to take care of her and never let her see a sad look on my face or look frustrated. I just want her to see love when I take care of her. And she tells everybody she knows. Now, she's at a point now that you can't understand her. I still can. But she would let everybody know that I take great care of her. So it's a lot of work to get her ready and to transport her back and forth. Plus, it really works on her body. She's sore. It wears her down. But we were at the ALS clinic, and after she saw all these specialists, Dr. Bedlack came in, sat down, pulled the stool up right in front of us and told her, he said, you have decreased 3 points, not one. Her breathing at night, the only thing helping her breathe was her diaphragm, her muscles in her sides, her back, those muscles that help us breathe every day that we take for granted, they were not working. So, you know, he sits there and tells her all of these things, and she's stronger than me. The doctor gets up and walks out, and I looked at her, I said, Susan, I said, what do you think about that? And she just looked at me, she said, I'm fine. We go home, and she can still, the type of ALS she has causes stiffness in her legs, which is a blessing because she can still stand up and hold a walker and take really slow, short steps. We got home after one of the visits, and I got her out of the wheelchair and got her straightened out, and she started going toward the back porch. I said, what are you doing? She said, I'm going to talk with God. And do you know what? For somebody to have that kind of attitude, to take care of somebody that never complains, to take care of somebody that has a debilitating disease and know that they're dying, that says, I'm fine, God's got this, I'm going through this for a reason. And she's been a blessing to so many people that have just come to visit her and see her and watch her. Not one complaint ever. I thought about, my goodness, how marvelous is God's grace and God's love that in this time of hardship, in this time that she knows that she is dying, she knows that. But going through this to have something she called a peace that passeth all understanding. You see, she's got that peace. Sometimes I struggle with it, Brother Barbara. I struggle. I have to get away somewhere where she can't see me because I'm going to tell you, it works on this pastor, but hey, not because I feel sorry for her, not because I don't believe God's on the throne, not because I don't believe she's ready to go, and she is. It just works on a husband or a wife emotionally that's taking care of the other one. And by the way, mentioning that, I've got a good pastor friend right now. His name is Brother Gary. He called me yesterday. He is a diabetic. He's lost fingers. They've taken off fingers. He sings with a gospel group. He's a young man in our church. His name is Tyler Stallings, and he grew up in the church. They have a wonderful gospel group. They sing gospel, but this Brother Gary Jones that sings in this group with them has a severe case of diabetes, and he's lost fingers. They've amputated a foot. He's just not doing good at all. But the saddest thing of all is that his wife gets up and leaves him, and he does not have any care. She didn't want anything to do with him. He's sick. He's home alone. He has no way to drive. He has no transportation. And he called me yesterday, heartbroken, because his wife, the one that made a promise, you know, in good times and bad times, in sickness and in health, she got up and walked out and left him alone. He is really going through a difficult time. His name's Brother Gary. Please pray for him. But I want to tell you, you know, God has a way to get our attention sometime. And the Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivereth them out of them all, right? We're not promised. We're not promised that we're going to get through this life without difficulty. You know, I never realized, and there's no man in here this morning, or no wife, either one, that would ever think that you're going to be the one to take care of your wife or to take care of your husband or to find yourself doing things that you would have never imagined that you would have to do. But you know what? God's grace is sufficient. There's a perfect love. There's God's love. There's a peace. There's joy. There's happiness. And I'm going to tell you, friends, some of these things that you find on this Christian journey, you never find till you find yourself down in the valley. You know, the mountaintops are a great experience. They are. They're a great experience. But down in the valley, my friend, that's where sometime you're going to find your closest relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. When you need Him most and you come to the edge in your life, and there's nowhere you can go. You're standing on the edge, and by faith, you know that you've got to depend on God. And do you know what? He has never failed. He said, I'll never, the old King James, I like this. It says, he made a promise. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but go with you all way, singular. That's no S on the end of that. All way, even to the end. But that word all way means this. It means even in a state of declension. It means when your health is going bad. It could mean as a young person, look, there's things happening to young people every day. You don't have to be sick to die. You don't have to be old to die. I've buried children, teenagers, middle age, adults, all across the board. But I'm telling you something, when you find yourself in a place in that valley, when there's nobody you can depend on but God, I'm going to tell you, that's when the glory comes down. That's when the peace that passeth understanding, all understanding, shows up. That is when your relationship can be renewed with God and the Holy Spirit of God. Listen, you that's when this word becomes sweet like honey. You know, the psalmist said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see. I'm going to give you an example. You know, if you ever go to Krispy Kreme and walk in there, there's more beautiful things there that you want to taste than you can. I'm telling you, I love sweets. And you can tell me you went to Krispy Kreme. You can tell me whatever, that what you enjoyed and you tasted and how good it was. That doesn't mean anything until I can taste it myself, right? I want to taste how good that the sweet rolls are. I want to taste how good those glazed donuts. I want to taste for myself. And the psalmist said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. My friend, I'm going to tell you something. Down in the valley, you're going to get a taste of some things maybe you never had a privilege to taste before. And do you know what? It'll make you want to come back for seconds. It'll make you want to come back for thirds. But think about this. You know, when you start talking about God's grace, it's without measure. I thought about that song the little children sing in children's church. Deep and wide. Y'all remember that? Deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. I'm going to tell you what, that fountain does not run out, friend. That water's still fresh. That water still is refreshing. It is the grace of God. And you know, as old Bobby Carden used to say, I want to get under the spout where the glory comes out. You know what? I found out this is a good place to hang out, to get under that spout where the glory of God comes out. When you know that you're all alone and you have absolutely nothing that you can do, you can't figure it out. Do you know, we're not as smart as we think we are. we're really not as smart as we think we are. Tragedy will knock you off your railroad tracks. You know that. Tragedy will knock you off your tracks. And here we are. The greatest thing about a church family is this, that the Bible says that we're fitly joined together as a family. And one of the things Satan is doing in a church today, when we as a family of God need each other more than we have ever needed each other, especially when you cut on the news and you see what's going on in this world, you hold the Bible in one hand, cut the news on with the other hand, my gracious, Jesus might come before we get out of here today. You realize that? But you know what? One of the things saddest and most of all in the church today, when we understand how much the Lord Jesus Christ loves us, that He thought we was worth Calvary, He died for our sin, and when you're serving God, He made a promise. He said, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You know, Brother Brad mentioned something about me driving back and forth to Rocky Mount. You know, gas is $4.50 a gallon. I guess y'all noticed that, hadn't you? I'm driving a pickup truck this morning just because I love it, and I don't never get to drive it because it's a truck. I drive my wife's car that she used to drive. It's a little Honda CRV. It's about 30 miles a gallon. So that's a no-brainer. Truck 15, Honda 30. That wasn't hard to figure out, was it? So I'm driving this little Honda up there back and forth, but you know how good God's grace is. That car's got 167,000 miles on it. The only thing I've ever done is put brakes on it and a battery. Praise God. Still got the same spark plugs in it. Do you know what? God is so good. It is not a choice. My wife understands. I get up, the love of God, the grace of God, the duty that I feel like I'm still bound to, and God's still making it possible that I can go and preach the gospel. And God takes care of my wife and keeps her from falling. I've got the Ring doorbell cameras on her. She's got the necklace around her neck she can press. We've got her brother next door, and the kids come check on her. But I'm going to tell you something. It is not a chore. It's a privilege. You know what makes it a privilege? It's the love and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I'm going away and prepare a place for you. If I go away, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And look, I'm telling you what, this world's gone crazy. It has. It has. There is one absolute truth that's forever settled in heaven. That's that precious book right there. And I'm going to tell you what, you can fall in love with Jesus every day. You know that? You can fall in love with Him every day. Why is that? Because He loves you every day. He loves you whether you step into stupid. You've heard that phrase. He loves you whether you mess up. But back to where I was going just a minute ago, here we are in a time in the churches in America that we need each other. And I'm going to tell you, Satan has found a way to infiltrate the church. How's he done that? He's done that through just exactly what the Bible says, gossip and backbiting and slander and all those things of the flesh. You know, when you read about the works of the flesh, well, there's some horrible things, aren't they? But I'm glad there's something called the fruits of the Spirit. Do you know what? God saved me. God saved you. And there's not one of us in here that deserved that, is it? We didn't deserve salvation. And God forgave us of our sin. And not only did He forgive us, but He forgot. And there's none in here. And when we understand we're not going to heaven because of who we are, who we think we are, we're going to heaven because the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, it was imputed into us from the cross of Calvary. Amen. And so when we look at each other, we need to understand, you know what? They're just like me. They're a mess. There's none good. No, not one. We're all a mess, but God's grace is so real, and He loves you so much that there's conviction in your heart that ought to set in and say, I don't need to do that. I need to love everybody, because here we are. If we know God's love, we know God's grace, we need to be here today loving each other and saying, hey, we need to be getting ready. I believe the trumpet's going to sound soon. I believe we're going to a place called heaven. I believe Jesus is coming. Hey, the Bible says when we saw all these taking place, we need to look up for our redemption draweth nigh. Isn't that what it says? And so we see all of these things. Praise God. We're getting ready to get up and get out of here. Amen. Aren't you glad you're saved this morning? There's nothing wrong with a Christian getting excited once in a while. Amen. The psalmist said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Amen. I have to remind our folk at church about that sometime. It's all right to raise your hand. It's all right to praise God. He won't get you. He won't get mad at you. He loves it. Amen. He loves it. But about this grace, I won't be long. I promise I only have like 30 minutes left. God's grace saved us from our sin. When you think about this more than I can comprehend, amen. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. I'm glad that God said, whosoever believeth on me shall never perish. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm glad I was a whosoever. I had no pedigree. I had no reason that God would love me. Matter of fact, I ran and I ran and I ran. I ran all over the place, but he caught me. He caught me. Matter of fact, Brother Billy was instrumental in giving me that tape, The Highway Shepherd. You know what? It pricked my heart. You have no idea how important that ministry is. I'm telling you from that truck driver's perspective, when I sat in the seat and held that steering wheel, there's people every day that need to know about the love and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody here this morning, there's problems in your family. And you know what? Many times they're going to get worse. You need God. You need to love Him. You need to consider the hour that we're living in this morning and be thankful that He loved you. If you've got your Bibles, turn to Psalm 34 real quick. I'm going to read you a few verses. Just a few verses. I think about what the psalmist said too. He said, I've been young. Now I'm old. I'm not seeing the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I'm going to read this in just a minute, but let me tell you this. You know, as Susan's disease progressed, the things I had to do became more difficult, like giving. You know, Susan's only this tall. You know, I hung on to her because I couldn't find anybody. Everybody else taller than I was, so she's right here, you know. She's a good one. And I thought, you know, she'd be pretty easy to pick up and carry around, but dead weight is dead weight. And so we had a need. Showers became where they were a problem. You know, I thought about that. I said that to say this. The psalmist said, I've been young, now I'm old. I've not seen the righteous forsaken or seed begging bread. And I thought about the scripture said, but my God supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. There was a need. Little did I know somebody showed up at church with a brand new walk-in tub, donated. Did I know how to put it in? Do not ever give me tools or get around me if you see me with tools in my hand of any shape, fashion, any type tool. Don't get near me. I will tear up whatever you think I'm going to fix. I'm not a hands-on person. But you know what? We had a guy in church, volunteered, he came out. He walked right in there and looked at everything, and he installed that walk-in tub. That is a blessing from heaven. ALS Foundation custom made a chair for her that fits her legs because she's so short. There's been blessing after blessing, need after need met. The church has been so good to us. You know, when she first was in bed, that became a problem because, you know, most people can't lay in bed in one position without turning. So I would have to get up and turn her. When she had to go to the bathroom, I would have to get up and get her up, help her to the bathroom, come back, get her back in the bed, turn her whenever she needed turning. That made for a very restless night. They have something now called, it's a recliner chair. It's called Zero Gravity. It's a chair that, you know, the church took up a donation. This chair is like over $2,000. It's a zero gravity chair, which means it takes the pressure off of all of your joints. It's really an amazing chair, and the chair can stand her up. God has showed up and done so many things, so many, at just the right time. How many of you know that God is always on time? He's always on time. And do you know what? We just need to praise Him and thank God for what He's done. You never know. You know, you don't know what it's like. I found out this as a caretaker. I never knew what a caretaker went through. And you know, there's a scripture that talks about, kind of paraphrase, we have no idea what somebody else is going through until we have walked in those shoes. Absolutely no way that you can understand that. But since I've been a caretaker, I'm going to tell you what, I have learned how to understand and appreciate what other people go through when they're a caretaker for someone else. My hat is off to you. But the greatest caretaker that I've ever met has been the Lord Jesus Christ. And do you know what? He's taken care of us every single step of the way. And if my wife can go through this sickness and never complain and just praise the Lord, then praise God, you know what? All I can do is take care of her and have a right attitude about it. Amen. I want to look at this psalm, and I'm going to stop here in just a second, I promise, right here. Psalm 34. Now, Brother Bill has used this psalm many times. I've heard him preach a message about it. Matter of fact, I think the title of his message was something about all is more than many. Y'all remember him preaching a message like that? All is more than many. Psalm 34:1, a psalm of David, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened. Their faces were not ashamed. The poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye saints, for there's no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. You know, God's grace, it saves us from our sin. God's grace teaches us and brings us through the valleys. God brings us through spiritual danger. But you know, one day God's grace is going to be what takes us home. I want to read this to you real quickly, and I'm going to close right here. He gives more grace. He gives more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sends more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction, he addeth his mercy. To multiplied trials, his multiplied peace. When we've exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only begun. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. If the pianist would come, Brother Brad, you come and take charge of the service. Thank you all for letting me come and be here this morning. I have missed the opportunity to be at Benson Grove, but it was just a blessing when I walked in these doors this morning to sense his presence and to see your faces. And I want you to continue to pray for my wife, Susan, and pray that God just continue to strengthen her, and pray for this pastor. But I want to tell all of you one thing really important this morning before I step down. You have no idea the worth you are in the sight of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to talk to you. And I promise you this, he has a way that he can do that. But I pray God's blessings on each one here this morning. I love Benson Baptist Church. Benson Grove Baptist Church, y'all have been a blessing to me over the years. And so thank you so much for allowing me to be here this morning and bring this message to you. I love all of you. And Susan wanted me to be sure to tell you that she loves you. We received the card from the ladies' ministry. That was a blessing. She loves getting cards. So thank all of you that were part of that. And thank you for praying for us, and we love you.